everyone. Thank you for listening. This is Andrew Fetter with When Pigs Fly, and I was actually a 30. I just gave you a little taste of a song I've been playing in a bit called Pipe Dream by Denise Vasquez. Do check her out, denisevasquez.com. Last I heard, she's out in the comic convention down in San Diego, so good luck with that with her. And I want to again welcome everybody to When Pigs Fly, and this is Andrew Fetter. And I have just one brief announcement before I have my special guest that's going to come on and divulge all of his information and things that he's, you know, been involved with right now. And I'm sure you're all wondering all about the contact information and his experiences and stuff. But just let everybody know, just to confirm, I am still doing readings for those who are in the Los Angeles area at the Psychic Eye Bookstore that is in Sherman Oaks. So all those who are out there or out in Los Angeles, do feel free to come and visit if you need a reading or whatever. The number to contact to schedule an appointment is at 818-906-8263. I will be there from on Sunday as well as on Monday and Wednesday. And starting September 15th, I'm going to be starting teaching Kabbalah, practical Kabbalah and the esoteric. So I've been putting on hiatus and hold on this for seems like too long for a couple of years, and out of demand, I decided to go ahead and start doing that. So again, I'm going to be starting that on the 15th of September, and that'll be every Thursday. It's going to be 7 classes. It will be also at that same location. I will give you details of it, and I'm sure they won't have the detail of information. It will be on a Thursday. It's going to be starting on the 15th on every Thursday, starting at 7:30. It'll last about for 2 hours or so. But the more detailed information for cost and everything else and how to apply, you'll have that shortly within the next 2 weeks on my next announcement. And I will also have post that information here on my website, BBS Radio. So anyway, now for my special guest, I'm sure you've heard, he's been on my show a couple of times. He is an actual a contactee of the Orions, where this particular Orions are from the star area of what they call Letus, or Letus. And there's been an undoubted confirmation of UFO activity in this area where he has been you know, in contact in this one particular area in New York, and he'll explain all that information. And the particular person or being of the, I hope I pronounce this right, Oxycarian Orion race. And I want to once again welcome Phil Kosiski. How are you doing today?
A little hot up here today.
Well, it's really cool out here in Santa Monica. We're having opposite weather.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
So then the it had 50 last night. Again, 2 days in a row, it's in the 50s. It's like, well, where's our summer? Let me ask you this. A lot of people who haven't heard of you or seen you in the past, can you, you know, I don't want to get in your personal things because that's not really important, but how did you first come in contact with the Orion that you are now going to start, I guess, talk about, Abena?
Yeah, Abena.
Abena.
This happened, and this came about in 2007 when I went back to the Pine Bush area. I was living out of state at the time. I came back here to New York, Orange County, and was looking around for UFOs because this place has had sightings, and I've been out this way before, way like maybe 10 years prior to 2007, so like 14 years actually, is when I had my first UFO experiences out here. Caught a little clip, something on video, a pulsating red UFO light that was hovering over the trees. So I came back out here in 2007, started seeing these ships and these lights coming floating around on the horizon, very, very slow. And one of them came up really close to me and stopped and kind of was putting on a light show. And it was like maybe 4 days after I had seen that particular display of the ship that, and I think it was July 30th to be exact, 2007 when I was there, and I had these UFO sightings that night. It was like 4 days later when I was at home, I returned, and I was meditating, and all of a sudden I just started hearing some communication in my mind, a voice, a feminine voice, introducing herself, telling me her name was Abena, that she was the pilot that was in that ship that I had seen just a few days earlier while I was in New York. She told me her name was Abena, that she wanted me to know that they were from Orion and that they've been on Earth since the building of the Great Pyramids, and they've had bases here on Earth, and they're keeping an eye on us. And they also have other reasons why they're here on Earth, which I'll go into a little bit later. But just some more of the background info is she told me that she wanted me to know that they look like us, with some minor variations, she said. They do have, they're a little taller than us. On average, they tend to be 6 to 7.5 feet. So I'd say like 6.5 to 7 feet is average for them. And so they have some of these minor variations, and the women tend to have more oval, I mean more round eyes, kind of like cats, and more flaxen white blonde hair. They're a very beautiful race, very relaxed race. And, I mean, she told me some things about contact that she told me the reason why I was being given these privileges to see, have these sightings and to have this kind of contact was because they had determined that I had progressed far enough already in my spiritual practices of meditation and study of cosmic laws that they discerned that I was deserving of seeing closer sightings and having contact. And then she told me that I needed to practice more deep meditation to get my brain waves into a more relaxed state, which was receptive to their brainwave state so that we could have open contact. And she said, if I didn't do this properly and I didn't do it long enough, then no close contact could happen.
And this happened about 2007, you said?
Yeah, that was 2007. And then she made a promise at the end of that. It was like 3 or 4 paragraphs that she had communicated to me telepathically that I heard in my mind, and I wrote it down, have it dated. And then at the end of that, she told me, the next time that you return to Pine Bush, I will appear in my craft, and I'm going to put on an aerial show for you. So like a month later, I came back. And sure enough, I saw her ship. She came out, and she started zigzagging around in the sky in this little triangular ship that she pilots. And this thing was zigzagging all over the sky. And I got that on video. That was some of my earliest video. And I was astonished when I saw it. And it really proved to me that, you know, I wasn't just hearing voices in my head or... It was a real telepathic communication because I saw evidence for it every time I came back. This particular ship would come in closer than all the others, and this is, she maintains telepathic communication with me, but sometimes she's not always communicating to me telepathically, so I have to kind of discern which ship is hers, and she lets me know which ship is hers because she'll come in closer than all the others because she told me that the other Oxycarians don't have any permission to come in and show me stuff closer unless it's granted to them by their elders.
So are they set up in a almost like a a Star Trek, like, commander, like, officer, you know, like a hierarchy somehow.
Yeah, yeah. I want to make this clear because she's revealed it to me. They are part of a military. This is this whole operation here is an Orion military type of operation. They are in the military. They police. They are one of the most advanced races within our galaxy, and they're protecting us from reptilians and other dangerous species of aliens that want to harm us and that want to take over the Earth. And they want to take them over, too. They've had their skirmishes with reptilians, too, in their own race, and they have it quite a bit. Sometimes the reptilians, when Abener and I would be having a communication, would interfere with our communication and would close it down. We wouldn't hear, or it would get broken up, our sentences. We wouldn't hear. We get knocked off from each other. And she told me that was because of the reptilians were interfering with the communications.
Mm-hmm. Now, the reptilian, are those the ones that are... some people call them. What's the Anunnaki?
Anunnaki are descendants of beings that settled in ancient Sumeria. From I think it was. This is fascinating, but I just learned about this. That back in Germany in the 30s, there was a society called the Thule Society. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It was called Thule or Thule. And it was also called the Vril Society. And this was back in the 1917, I think it was. It was way before World War II. But there was a group of women called the Vril Society, and they let their hair grow very long because it said it facilitated telepathic contact with the other side. And so these women were extremely... devoted to study and trying to make contact with aliens and beings and all these different things. So they'd go into trances and they'd make contact. And one woman in particular, I think her name was Maria Ostrich, claimed to make contact with beings on a star called Aldebaran, which is in the constellation of Taurus, and which is like 68 light years from Earth. And she received all this channeled material about how to create flying saucers or discs. And this is where the Nazi or the German UFOs came from. It's the very beginning. It all started with Maria Ostrich and some of these women that received this telepathic information. It's pretty fascinating. But some of the channeled information said that the beings on Aldebaran settled in ancient Sumeria, and they called themselves the Sumi, and their race was the Sumeran, and they were the ones that settled ancient Sumeria, and they were related to these beings.
And so the reason I was asking you that was because I was wondering what was the connection, if there was a connection with the Orions that you're dealing with.
With Abena, yes, because she's half Pleiadian, I found out, and she told me that the Pleiadians are descendants of they're descendants of the angelic hybrid offspring of the Watchers that made it with the Daughters of Men about maybe 15,000 years ago. In the time of Enoch, God had set these angels on Earth to watch over mankind.
Right.
And they didn't need to have wives because they were single and all this, but because when angels come down to Earth, they can metamorphosize and become males or females. They can experience sex, and because they're humanized, they've stepped down from the higher spiritual angelic plane and they've come down to the physical plane, and they become like men when they're on Earth. So when they became men, they found themselves curiously being drawn in their lust or their natural desires, which is only natural for women. And so they just couldn't keep to the angelic law, the higher law. They couldn't keep it. And so what happened was they intermarried with primitive earth women that were very beautiful, and they created these hybrid races. Some of them became giants. That's where the Anunnaki came from, a lot of them. And some of these races, prior to the Great Flood and some of these ancient catastrophes that struck the Earth, some of these descendants of these giants and watchers escaped with their high technologies, and they went off to the Pleiades, Sirius, and went off to different constellations, and they formed new societies outside of Earth. So they
came here, and then they went back to where they're... Now, there's another thing that came out just recently, and I was just curious in your relationship, because it's actually from Van Daniken's latest research on his book that talked about the Mayan calendar, and then they figured out there's a place in Bolivia, Peru, where they show they figured out the language, what it really meant with 2012. It had nothing to do about there's a change of the Earth so much. It was more that they figured out it really meant they left 20,000 years ago. Oh, and now 2012, they're coming back.
I haven't got anything exactly particular on that, but I do know Abena has told me that during the latter part of 2012, a more major pole shift is going to occur. And there has been a pole shift occurring for the last 10 years. It's been very gradual, but now it's picking up. Mm-hmm. And in 2003, there was quite a major shifting of the axis and the tectonic plates under the ocean. And true magnetic north used to be located northeast, out towards the northeast, going towards Iceland and that area. Now, if you take a compass and look for true magnetic north, it'll be pointing to the northwest towards Alaska. Just to give you an idea.
Right, I gotcha.
Yep. So strange things are happening, and yes, a lot of alien races are returning because we're entering the age of Aquarius now. We're leaving Pisces, and the age of Aquarius is all about brotherhood. It's all about new higher technologies. Clean air technologies and brotherhood and getting along.
Yeah, but what's going to happen with all the people? Now, you said she's like they're like more like a military, almost like a contingency. Are they like? And you said they're like trying to protect us from outside other negative, let's say, extraterrestrials.
Yep.
And is that why there's such a shift also as far as politically on our planet? Because it seems like there was a political alignment from what I read and heard with the reptilian, like extraterrestrials, with those who are in power, and they're now losing that subsequent power because their ones that were helping them are no longer there. That's what I've heard. So I'm just curious if that's a comfort.
Yeah, Abena told me they had a major skirmish with one of a certain black ops group last summer, and this black ops group was called the Brigade. It's a very secret, ultra secret black ops Earth group that was in alignment with. She told me like 16 different alien races, and this black ops group was given certain technologies by reptilians. And one of these black ops groups foolishly tried attacking the Oxycarian ships and brought one of them down and took hostages, took a couple of pilots hostage, and Abena and her people had to go and rescue them. And as a payback for what they foolishly tried to do, making war on the Oxycarians, this black ops group paid for it dearly. They paid for it very much. I mean, Abena and her people... avenged themselves against this this brigade group, and they totally shut them down. And now they're no longer able to do what they were doing last summer. They're not a threat. And I heard some confirmatory evidence about this, some buzzwords going around that a lot of black ops operations were being shut down. They were getting no more funding from the government. And all stuff like that, but there are still some of these groups that are still operation, but they're very secretive, and you won't hear much about it. You won't even know. They don't want you to know they exist.
So what's like? So basically, there's a changing of a guard, basically, because the other ones are. Now, how is this affecting the our system of our economics right now, which we still use, the banking system and all that bullshit of the Federal Reserve, where we use stuff and Bank of England and blah, blah, blah.
That's the major... Yeah, I'm sorry, go on.
Now, what does... Because in order for our things to change into a more greater, what's going to happen with that everybody so used to using their present banking system of the dollar.
Right. Well, that is, I mean, this present system is the whole reason for the imbalance and the injustice and the, I mean, there is plenty of abundance on Earth. There's plenty of wealth. It's just that the small conglomeration of the people that create the money and control the flow of the money, these are the culprits that are creating this false idea that there's this scarcity and all this. There is in no way a scarcity for any of this. It's all because of selfishness of the few that have control of the money and don't want to share it.
Yeah, but is this the part of, like, what I'm trying to say is, when you were talking about the reptilian or dark extraterrestrials, their influence of helping out these particular individuals.
Yes,
for,
yes.
And now that they've lost it, they're losing their own power and control of doing that. So elaborate to you, like, what's the shift of, you know, changing, you know, you're talking about the sort of a utopian type of atmosphere of going into a very, like a utopia sort of situation. When we start changing, actually, obviously, if we stop using the lame use of oil, and we move to like electromagnetic energies and anti-gravity energies. When you suppose that, is that, are they, you know, so they don't do, what I'm trying to get to is, they don't have like the prime directive like the Star Trek. They do have to get involved because in much case we are part of them as much as they are part of us.
Right, and they are going to take action at a certain time. They're on standby, mm-hmm. and they're waiting, and they are going to play a major part in a lot of stuff. They're going to be wasting the rebellious people and governments that aren't going to come into line with the new alignment, the new programs that aren't going to, they're going to be given authority at certain points to intervene and start wasting our civilization. And it's going to be too bad, you know. It's going to be horrible. But it's what rebellious mankind has brought on himself. And he doesn't want to listen. He doesn't want to listen to higher wisdom. He doesn't want to listen to the cry of his brothers who are in pain. And, you know, they're going to pay a price for that. They think they're going to fly away and they're going to have all this technology with the bad reptiles, aliens, and they're going to become little gods themselves. And they're going to, you know, they think they're going to decimate the human parts of the human race they don't think deserve to live.
And those are this is what I've heard.
This is what it boils down to. It boils down to who they're deciding who's going to live and who isn't. And it's going to come down to this. It's the whole anti-Christ, anti-life, anti-evolutionary development.
Right, so,
they're against they're against people that are poor and underdeveloped for getting any more developed. They don't care.
Right.
They're turning a deaf... I'm sorry, go on.
Yeah, it's basically what you're actually confirming. I had a past guest and also other people who confirmed pretty much that were very much confirmed, not just theory, but actual fact of the Illuminati, who are actually part of that alien reptilian issue, and they've been trying to, that selfishly trying to decimate the population to some extent for more control.
Yep.
And it seems to me that, and they're trying to create the, what everybody knows is the New World Order, and I just feel that maybe they're, as much as their plan, there was trying to, their thought was going to succeed, it isn't now, and now they're sort of desperate times.
They're getting a lot of criticism, you know, because a lot of people are waking up and they feel the opposition, but that's not deterring them. They're becoming even stronger. This crowd that is part of this evil black, I mean, they don't think they're evil. They think they're doing the right thing.
Right.
And so their eyes.
So this is when you're talking about basically the what Albano was talking about, that they're going to finally step in and says enough is enough?
But the major point of intervention and help that will be coming to us will be by the return of the Messiah, the Mashiach, to the Jewish people in the land of Israel. Now, I know a lot of people may disagree with this. You know, they may want to see things differently, but the Holy Scriptures have been being proven out for thousands of years true. I mean, the prophecies have been coming true. And so, there's dozens and dozens of prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled about the Messiah's return to this planet as the king of Eretz Israel and the Jews. And
everything you're saying exactly is, if you read Ezekiel around 35 and 39 and 37, exactly what you're talking about has actually coming into being. I mean, it's bizarre. I don't care about politics. I argue with people in politics. The guy says, you know what, here, just read this. And you'll stand back and you go, holy shit, it is exactly, you know, where people, Israel, the surrounding neighbors are going to be so drunk they'll think they can do whatever they want. They're trying to divide Israel, and as much as they're trying to divide, they're
living. Oh, totally, totally.
There's also the book of Obadiah. I don't know if you ever read the book of Obadiah, which is actually the forefather of the Palestinians, warned them.
Obadiah, yes.
Yeah, he's actually of Esau, and he warned them. That's what they are. Palestinians are really Adamites. They're not Canaanite.
Yeah, I've heard of this. I've read that. I believe it too. Yeah.
And he warned them that if you try to curse your brother Jacob and try to kill him, you'll be dispersed, which what's happened. And if you further your hatred, you'll forever be you'll be gone, like yesterday.
Exactly.
What's interesting enough is actually they take on the name, which the Palestinians took the name Philistine, which is Philistine, which is actually to their own, because we believe there's things they say, the words mean certain things. They actually brought on their own calamity by saying that the Philistine, because the Philistine is the outsider that came from Greece into Israel to destroy the nation of Israel. So here it is again, history repeating itself, and whatever happened to the Philistines.
Absolutely. So, and you know, you talk about history repeating itself. You remember when the Israelites were in Egypt and they were being forced, you know, to be slaves and everything, right? And then the Creator sent Moses,
right,
and his brother Aaron,
right,
and he created all those miracles and delivered the Jews. I mean, they completely brought Pharaoh to his knees finally, and he let the people go. And then, you know, he pursued them and thinking he could still get away and try and get the Israelites back. But then, you know, Moses parted the Red Sea, and all, you know, the Jews, the Israelites escaped into the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and the Egyptians pursued them. But finally, when they almost made it to the other side, Moses let down his rod, and that was the end. He brought the waves down over the whole Egyptian army and destroyed and drowned them. We're going to have a repeat of that same type of element. It's going to happen again in the modern state of Israel. There's going to be two prophets, like Moses and like Aaron. Some think they actually are the prophet Moses and Elijah,
mm-hmm,
being sent back to prophesy to the Jews to get them ready for their Messiah. But this is what the book of Revelation chapter 11 talks about, and it's going to happen, and all the nations of the earth are going to try to, like the Egyptians, they're going to try to force Israel into slavery to do what they want.
So is this what you, confirmation of what Benna has told you, exactly what you're talking about right now?
Well, I mean, she told... They, all right, Abena has told me about their different, many, in fact, our recent contact in June, she's taught me a lot of stuff about their religion in contrast with ours. It's actually a little bit different, I mean, but they still believe that our biblical faith of the Creator that he gave the Jews is correct. I mean, there's some parts of it that were meant to be allegorical, she told me, but many of the parts of it are totally correct. And they believe that Jesus was a prophet and a Messiah risen up by the Creator for the world, and that we need to listen to him. And so, yes. Yeah, in fact, the Oxycarian language is very similar to Hebrew and ancient Akkadian.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds in Greek. There's a relation between Greek, Hebrew, and Akkadian.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very similar. The Greek alphabet is almost the same as Hebrew, so it's kind of perverted. But
it basically, that's where it came, because the Hebrew alphabet actually came originally from Egyptian, and then it from Egyptian became Hebrew. Then Hebrew, the Greek alphabet thing came from literally from Hebrew. People don't want to realize it, but it did.
Oh, it did. Yeah, because
Alphabet came before there was alphabet.
yeah. And you know, there was literally, a lot of people don't know this, but there's some people know it, that there were literally parts of the tribes of Israel that escaped and founded colonies up in the Greek Isles, and they were called the Trojans, and they founded the city of Dardanus and Troy, and they were mighty. These were Jews. They were people. They were elements of the royal tribe of Judah from the Pharaoh. There was two brothers of Judah that were twins, Pharaoh and.
It's funny you said that, is because there was a guy, I forgot his name now. He did on the History Channel, found a city. I think it's in Greece that they actually confirmed they found artifacts showing, people didn't know what they were, but if you looked at them, they were showing the tabernacle, things of Israel and the Israelites that didn't make any sense. And the Greeks looked like, no, they aren't. And then you look at it and they were. I mean, it was sort of obvious.
Back in the first century and prior to that, there were colonies of Jews that were in Greece. And they were Hellenized. They were Hellenized Jews, but they still kept the Sabbath. And
technically, they wouldn't be Jews because Jews are from Judah, or they're the Judea tribe. They were actually the part of the lost tribes that got dispersed during.
Absolutely. There's a lot of scientific evidence and etymology that proves that a lot of Western Europe are lineal descendants of the lost tribes of Israel, like. Holland, for instance, the French, certain elements in Germany, certain elements in especially the British Isles, Ireland, Scotland, and England, UK.
Yeah, the tribe of Froyam dispersed all throughout there. They know that now for a fact. Let me ask you this, because getting to what is the latest info that Abena once told you to divulge to us? About, I know there was some serious information that she wanted to divulge that, I guess, you to tell us what's going on or whatever.
Yeah, well, my planned trip with them, I mean, she had promised to take me on a trip with them back in last fall, but something came up amongst their race, and what it was they had a civil war amongst themselves, and this was very difficult for me to accept at first, because I thought an alien race, they were at peace with themselves, they wouldn't have these types of problems arising amongst themselves. But she told me, yes, there was a small party that rose up within the Oxycarians that wanted to change the way things were being done. They wanted a more communistic form of government, a socialist type of government. And there was a split in their military and in their political and their spiritual leaderships. One group siding with the people that wanted the change, and the other groups wanting the independence. And Abena and her side rose up in favor for the independence, and there was a war with high technologies fought, and a lot of people got hurt, and a lot of her people got hurt and died as a result of this, and that's why she couldn't come and get me and take me on the planned trip, and a bunch of other things happened. So that's in the works now. We're trying to work on that, get a date when she'll be able to take me, and I'll have more.
And I remember you were working really diligent. Yeah, this whole from Alaska, if everybody listens last year, you had do all these exercises and stuff, and she gave this listing of things that you must be able to do before you're able to go do it. And here, diligently, you're doing all the
right stuff. Yeah, it was very devastating to me to have this put on hold, and I was really tested and tried with a lot of things, and I also found out she was testing me and trying me by telling me half truths. She was playing games with my mind, testing me to see if I was going to break under certain things. So she'd tell me a partial truth mixed with a lie to see if I was going to believe it or not, and see if I could get myself out of it or discover, you know, where the lie was and whether I was going to believe it or not. So she was playing a psyop with me, I guess, kind of like an experiment, and she apologized for it, but she said it's required for all those that are going to have close contact with them. They want to, because if you're going to be a contactee, and especially if you're going to go and be with them and work with them, you need to be tested, and you need to be able to stand on your own two feet and not hang on somebody else all the time for your answers, and you need to be create your own will and your own self-initiative to do things. And that's why she was telling me this. This is very important information, especially for those considering they want to be a contactee and what's entailed with all that. It's not an easy route.
Can you reiterate that again? Because just so they understand because a lot of people I know are all going, hey, you know, how can I be a contactee, and what does it need to be? Because I know there's some people really want to, and some people don't even. Because I think there's going to be. There's always been more contacts, but there are a lot of issues, and it'd be helpful because then people can relate and get into a situation. There will be a lot of feels and a lot of people out there who, because that the more communication and more understanding of what's out there, the better for our civilization.
I would say the first elementary thing are that if you want to be a contactee, if people want to be contactees, is to prepare and to relax. First of all, cut and dry, you need to relax. People need to relax their brain waves. You need to go into these slower, more relaxed states of alpha, theta, and delta, and epsilon, and some of these very deep, deep, relaxed states. Because the aliens, well, at least the more evolved ones, are dwelling in these relaxed states of mind most of the time, even with their technologies and their day-to-day things, because their technologies are dealing with higher consciousness, and so their technologies require you to reach a certain spiritual type of consciousness in order to handle and execute that technology. And if you don't get to that, those brainwave levels of that, access to that kind of technology will never be granted to people that don't come into line with that consciousness. And that's why it's a strict route, and it's not easy to get to it. But the more you prepare and the more you comply and learn about creational law and what the protocols are and what's required, the easier it will become, because it's not meant to be hard, but we make it hard because of our stubbornness, you know, and our as the masters and the gurus would teach, you know, our desensitized type of attachments that we all develop in physical life. And the more attached we are to material things, the more dull we become, the more heavy we become. But the aliens, you know, have risen up in their consciousness through meditation and through observance of natural spiritual creational laws, so they understand how to cut the cord to a lot of attachments and come into a harmonious balance. And that's what we need to do on Earth in order to join the brotherhood of these alien races now. We need to learn to cut the cord to all the attachments and all the addictions and all the things that cause us to become dull, cause us to become...
Can you give an example of when you say attachments, what do you mean attachments?
Well, attachments could be anything. For a number, you know, my attachment could be different than your attachment. Some people have an attachment for eating, overeating. Some people have it for greed or power or dominance, wanting to be seen, wanting to be applauded, wanting to be recognized. These are all primitive types of animal instincts or undeveloped instincts below a universal level. And what has to happen is man has to rise up in his consciousness through a transcendental type of meditation. And he has to suddenly discover in his own mind that mankind was meant to evolve to a higher state and not always remain on a material state all the time. He has a spirit that needs to be fed with its senses just as much as our physical body needs to have its senses gratified. But if we get out of what's wrong on Earth is that we're being held captive by the political regimes and the military regimes and the other even our spiritual regimes. We're being lied to with half-truths by all of them, and we're being kept below a universal level. And they want to keep the populace below a universal level, because if we rise to a universal level, then we'll become like them, and then we can, and then the populace will start gaining access to this kind of high technologies. Because right. that's what happens when you gain a universal level of consciousness. You're going to come into access. You're going to come into contact with beings that are friendly and are at that level. And that's what the black op, I mean, the sinister, satanic, evil...
they want to keep the vibration basically down so that if your frequency is lower... You will not be able to communicate with higher elevated extraterrestrials.
Exactly,
you won't even be able to see them to some extent. So if you're rising your frequencies higher, then you'll be able to communicate with them and actually relate with them, and also information will be more or less translated to you from the universe from what they have.
Now, let me ask.
So what's going to happen from Abena, what she said about, like you know, around the world, I know there's, like, we talk about biblical points of things that are coming to being.
Yep.
But what's going to happen to, look at organized religions, whether they're Judaic, Christian, Islam, and specifically, that's going to happen when they... people realize that there's going to be ones that are wanting to make extraterrestrials. In fact, there's the Christian Society. A lot of Christians are trying to say, to prepare their congregation that if they do see extraterrestrials, those are actually the devil.
Right. That's a very
Muslims are sort of starting to do the same thing. So I'm just sort of curious on, and now ironic, the only ones who aren't doing it are the Jews and the Buddhists, to tell you the truth. So I don't know, that's, to me, it's bizarre why those are only two that are not even really caring.
Well, it's because of elitism with the Christian religion. They think, I mean, Jesus was very special and, he came to atone and resurrect and bring men back to God and bring men back into right relation with each other too. So the mission of Jesus is very important, and so that can come off by a lot of Christians. They can misrepresent that in a way that's very offensive, and they're doing it in a way that's below a universal level, because many of these Christians can't even accept the fact that God has created other human species within the universe. And these Christians are actually deprived and mentally ignorant themselves, and they think they're smart because, you know, they're fundamentalists and they know everything, and they, you know, they're just plainly like they're deceived, they're self-deceived is what it is, and they're actually retarded in their their mental evolution is retarded.
What about in Islam, where it's either
same thing with Islam and any other religion that thinks it's the only way and the only truth. You know, to them, yeah, but you don't go around, you got to respect people, because, you know, even if you disagree with them, you live and let live, and that's, you know, people, you give what you get out. So if you give out a lot of offensive stuff, I mean, Jesus didn't go around forcing people to believe in him and saying, you know, all these things. He just presented the truth, and then he moved on. He knew people that were ready. That's why he always used to, when he taught, he used to say, he that has an ear, let him hear. And he that doesn't have an ear, he won't hear. He goes, so he knew that some people were ready and fertile ground to hear the truth. So the same thing today, people need to study how Jesus taught, and then they need to follow his example, because he wasn't a boisterous religious fanatic. He was very
sounded like a spaceship there, man, behind you. Hey, oh, I know what I wanted to ask you, because I don't want to cut off here, but there's real quick, because we got time, though. Real quick, I saw the picture, and I put it on my Facebook, but and everybody go to your site, because you have it on there, of Abena's ship. But you know what's weird? I looked at it, it has like two, like I saw these two circle, like bright lights coming out of it. But then I see it look like starboard port, like the lights, like red and green. What are those lights? And then, you know, and then I go, wait, is that really is a ship? And then it did sort of like disappear, which didn't make any sense.
Are you talking about that video I sent you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was her ship, and that was a pre-planned sighting. And if anybody wants to see it, they can go to Orion Nepho on YouTube or Orion Contactee, look it up. And it's titled UFO Reveals Sparkling Molecular Plasma. And this video this was a pre-planned sighting. We discussed this the day before it happened. In a contact, she told me she'd be out for me the next night. So I went out, and her ship was waiting for me over a Jewish cemetery in the back of the woods. That's one of the major entrances to their base, though. That's why they're always seen there, she says, because they have a major entrance there to their base underground. But if you look at that video, you'll see plasma, dark plasma, with which they cloak the ship, and it's very wild.
Why is there a green and red light?
They have to use cloaking. She told me this. I said, you know, I get a lot of criticism. A lot of people think, well, it's a plane or it's a jet, when they see a red and a green flashing light. And she told me they have to do it because it's FAA rules, and if they were to fly around all the time without that, they would be intercepted by the Air National Guard. The USAF would be sent out to vector in on them and try to get them. And you know, that it's just one of the laws that if you're flying in U.S. airspace, you got to have FAA regulations. So the aliens are no different. They don't want to. She also told me they don't want to draw a lot of attention to themselves by vast numbers of people by flying around in their native form of the alien craft. And in fact, she told me they're not allowed to just reveal the alien side of their ships to everybody all the time.
Right. Gotcha.
But
okay. That was my question.
Oh yeah.
So anyway. In closing with what you said about what she had to divulge, so what is the what in the next whatever few months are we supposed to be, what she's disclosed to you that humanity should need to do, or those who are listening need to do?
Well, primarily learn to relax and raise your consciousness and find that deep peace and that stillness within yourself. and stop listening to all the turmoil and the commotion, because everything, whether it's religion or it's politics or whatever it is, all the hype, all the clamor is all meant to get you out of balance, because that's what the Illuminati wants. That's their game plan. They want you confused. They want people to start fighting, killing each other, so they can bring in this New World Order and the Antichrist. And so the best thing we can do is Jesus once said a statement. He said, in peace, possess you your souls in peace. Find the peace within your soul, because it's there, because it's created in God's image. Find the peace within your soul by resting and being still and knowing that that soul has been given to you by God, and you're a custodian of it, and you're going to be accountable to the Creator for what you do with your soul in your body. Every human being on this planet is going to be accountable in this life, for this lifetime they're living, they're going to be accountable for what they did with their soul in this body. And based upon that, in proportion with what they did, they will either progress or digress in their next, in the next life.
So basically, it's Jesus saying everybody to, realize all the bullshit, that the distractions of, the feelings of separation produce hatred and division, detachment of yourself from the universe, and also basically...
And others. I mean, this is a bad thing that's happening, too. Many are being turned... Many people are just rejecting each other. And, Jesus said this would happen, too. The love of many would grow cold. Many would hate and betray one another. And they'd start to kill each other. And Jesus said, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. And when he said the days would be shortened, he's talking about the return of all the angelic hosts and himself to this planet to set it free from the captivity of these hostile reptilian and satanic forces that surround it like a black, ominous cloud of soot.
So did she give you like a specific time or about approximate time that all of a sudden their prime directive is going to be implemented, as far as going, okay, enough is enough, okay,
yes, it will be the major sign that will happen to indicate that the time is drawing nigh is when an international peace deal is drawn up between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and actually the whole Middle East, and the Jews are guaranteed to build their temple again, and it's a 7-year covenant. When you see that happen, that is fine. We've entered the very final days of judgment in the end times, and everything's going to start to go up in smoke at that time. The whole world, the Antichrist, those prophets I was telling you about, Moses and Elijah, will appear in Jerusalem and Israel and start prophesying under the direct inspiration of the Creator. And it's going to be an ominous time, because they're going to be working miracles. They'll be defending the Israelis against their enemies. And it's going to be just...
See, because this is what I have a feeling what's going to happen. This is my feeling. When you say just Palestinians, my perspective is what's in the works right now, which is where it's heading to.
Yep.
Is what they call the Jordanian. There's not ever going to be a Palestinian state. That there's actually going to be peace between the Jordanians and the Israelis are actually in a sideline movement of making the West Bank joint controlled. And if it becomes joint controlled, because they've always had a de facto peace, Jordan, in fact, because Team Hussein had said it, Jordan is Palestine, Palestine is Jordan. Now the Palestinian leadership, Abbas and all of them, Fayyad, are actually getting, again, their Jordanian citizenship, because actually the Arabs, the Palestinians living in the West Bank, had Jordanian citizenship up to 88 until the Jordanians withdrew it and relinquished it, and that's where the Infidia first started. So now it seems to me that's where it's heading to, that no matter what, that's why they're building this continuum building, and they'll jump up and down. But it's heading to that direction no matter what. They end up going to have a joint peace. I think also the calamity of Syria is happening right now for a reason, because if Syria becomes, Assad goes down.
Well, a lot of these Middle East nations now.
Yeah, it's going to be a change, though, in the Lebanon, because the Hezbollah will be weakened, and they'll be finding peace with the Lebanese. And then the same thing, the Iranians, and then, like it says in the Bible, it's going to rise up from Iran, and I think they're going to try to do something, and of course, you know what happens there, according
to... We know Russia, and the book of Ezekiel mentions Russia, mentions Iran under different Persia, Tubal, and Meshach, which is Russia, and Iran, which is Persia, and all these other nations are going to be confederate, and they're going to try to come down and attack Israel and wipe her off.
Yeah.
You know,
we've
heard what Ahmadinejad wants to do to Israel.
According to what the prophecy of Ezekiel, it's not by military might that the enemies of Israel destroyed, it's actually by God. And there's earthquakes and calamities, and so my thing is, I figure, well, what if there's a, that's maybe what you're proposing, it's really the extraterrestrials doing something outside upon as they're being attacked, which now makes sense what you're saying and what they're saying that's going to happen, which is
pretty at that time when the Antichrist political kingdom is set up and it's ruling, there will come a time the Creator will allow the extraterrestrials to go around the earth and start wasting all the cities of the earth. They're going to take them out, and they're going to destroy all these evil cities that have been set up to glorify this political New World Order bullshit.
Hope that's not going to happen to Los Angeles.
You know, all these movies that come on about these alien ships coming around and destroying them, that's going to happen. It's really going to happen. I mean, this stuff is going to happen, and it always comes out in the movies before it happens.
Yeah, well, I think also the movies they're also putting a lot of, there's two sides in Hollywood. People think, there's a side of Hollywood trying to show the enlightened side of what's really going on, and then there's a lot of the other side that's actually trying to project a fear of extraterrestrials, like the skyline and the bee and all that, that make you fearful of extraterrestrials. And you know, and then there's the other side trying to do the opposite, like the Cocoon or the ET or Avatars. And I think that's, like I said, in Hollywood, there's two sides in Hollywood that I just know for a fact. There's two sides, you know, it's not that there's an evil Hollywood and there's an enlightened Hollywood. Yeah. And that's, And it's the same thing in music. I got really upset because people were calling, they don't know people in music industry. I know some people personally. And they are saying, and also in the movie industry, and they're saying, oh, they're all Illuminati. No, they're not. There's some that, yes, and there's some who aren't, you know, and that's why you see some, people are jumping on conclusions, and I think they're being manipulated. And I hate to say this, but I'm just coming straight out. I think sometimes there's disinformation agents out there, and I'll name them. I mean, I feel like David Icke is one of them. I think Alex Jones is one of them. Jeff Rentz is definitely just totally evil. But or what he does is evil. But
he's very anti-Semitic, from what I heard.
Yeah, well, he hates Jews. It's just obvious. And David Icke is no better. I always tell everybody, if somebody is proposing a consciousness of division and hate, they're not coming loving beings. If you're talking awareness, hey, this is what's going, but they're really part of us, that is different. And I think people have to realize, and the reality is, even though these Illuminati, or even the extraterrestrials are negative, in the reality of the universe, we're all connected, and so they're all part of us. And what you're saying is exactly dead on. We have to raise our vibrational, our energy upward, but as a humanity and a whole have to rise up. And we're going to have that energy as it rises. We're going to still have the bottom part. But if that energy on the bottom can't stay with the top part of the energy, energy would disavow. It doesn't just disappear. It'll go someplace else. It'll go to...
Abena told me recently in a contact, she said people that are like that, that don't want to go forward, and they're going to be left behind, she said.
Right.
They're going to be left behind.
Right. And
Evolution is marching forward, and the soul and the spirit in man wants to evolve, and the, you know, those that don't want it to evolve, other people that are trying to keep it hampered and keep it closed.
Yeah, they're just
covered up. These people are going to be punished by the laws of nature. The laws of nature are no longer going to serve these people. The elements in themselves are going to turn against these people. That means all their technology and everything they prize themselves with is suddenly going to start to not serve them anymore. I don't know how to describe it, but they're going to be in real trouble, these people. They're going to be in real hot water.
Yeah, but what I was saying, because everybody's just basically your energy, but they're going to find themselves being reincarnated into their new prison plan, another place, not this earth. This earth is going
to
be...
Listen, a lot of these people, Benna told me, are going to be sent down to the core of the earth and punished. Hell is real. And Benna told me it's real. And certain people that live a number of lifetimes in this earth and are wicked, they lose their chance to reincarnate, and they have to get punished. They have to go down into the core of the earth, and they get tormented in this. It's very hot down there.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not necessarily the earth here, but I'm saying it'll be like another earth, but it's a prison planet earth. It'd be like
totally. But so, I mean, I'm talking about earth right now. I mean, there's different grades of evil that people are involved in, and those that are on earth right now that are that are aligned with these satanic reptilian forces, these people are all going to be cut down and thrown into the core of the earth, and there's going to be no mercy shown to them, and they are going to be violently punished for the crimes that they've committed and the pain that they've caused humanity for all these years, and they are going to pay for it. Mark, make no mistake about it. The scriptures are absolutely true about this, and I don't care what anybody says. It's what the Bible says. It's what Jesus Christ himself testified. It's what all the gurus and the major prophets and every religion have taught. And it's going to happen.
Yeah.
These people may come out eventually, because God is love, and he won't keep people, you know, confined forever. But believe me, they're going to be taught a serious lesson for a long time until they get it.
I want to, Phil, because I have to close right now. But,
yeah, all right.
I want to really thank you for coming on again on my show and divulging the information and also re-establishing a lot of stuff. I know we rehashed a lot of things you had said in the past. It's just that it's been, you know, some people don't know who you are, and I'm glad that that information has been re-emphasized, in particular part connecting with being a contactee and contacting extra, because that was always something that a lot of people keep on asking me about. And again, just if you can tell everybody how they can check out your site, what's your website? I know I have it up there, but
People, you can go to my blog spot is Orion IFOs Research. Just do a type I Orion IFOs Research blog spot, and that's my major blog spot website. And then I have another one called the Pine Bush Zone. You'll find links on my channels, and then, of course, my YouTube channel where my videos are is called Orion Contactee. Just type that in on Google, and you'll come to my channel called Orion Contactee.
Well, Phil, I want to, again, thank you for coming on my show. It's been really an honor and a great blessing every time I have you on my show. You sort of like just re-emphasize stuff I think about and I've said in the past.
Yeah, it gets updated. It kind of gets updated. I get things new things come to me, and then I know how to phrase them in a different way.
So I want to thank you again, and I want to thank everybody out there for listening and who are about to listen or have listened to on the archives. And God bless y'all, and have a glorious, glorious weekend. And thank you. God bless.